This is the Awful Announcing Podcast. Here's your host, Brandon Contes.
All righty. Welcome to episode 8 of the Awful Announcing Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Contes, and this week we have Adam Schein joining us on the podcast. Adam, of course, is a dual threat in media, hosting a daily radio show for SiriusXM and a TV show for CBS Sports Network. Adam, thanks so much for making some time for us today. And I want to start by commending what I think is your best take, and that is always hot coffee, regardless of the weather.
I mean, if I'm going to do your podcast, there I got to have the hot coffee.
Yeah.
Let the record show, Brandon, it is 75 degrees as we speak. And I went for a run after radio and I was sweating and I'm going with hot coffee. I don't even understand the iced coffee people. I don't understand iced coffee when it's cold. I don't understand iced coffee in general. Maybe there's an at the pool, at the beach, 98 degree July, August day at 3 p.m. exception to the rule. But I wake up every day, have 2 piping hot cups of coffee in between radio and TV, piping hot cup of coffee. I want a little sweat when I have the coffee.
Yep.
Wake me up. I don't even understand the other side of the argument.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. It could be 90 degrees on vacation in Hawaii, and I'm still searching for the hot coffee.
There we go.
And with your radio show, TV show, podcast, I'm sure coffee is often a welcomed necessity. But I want to start with the radio show, where you recently interviewed the quarterback of the New York Jets, Aaron Rodgers, and that interview was aggregated a lot. I don't think a lot of people that aggregated it necessarily even realize that you've interviewed Aaron as much as you have on your radio show, because he's known for the weekly Pat McAfee appearances. But how did your SiriusXM radio show become a sort of media home for Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron and I have had a great host, guest, player relationship for a long time. You know, I used to host the draft on NFL radio. I started at Sirius. It wasn't even SiriusXM, at Sirius in 2004. And I hosted the draft. And my first draft was the Aaron Rodgers draft. It was at the Javits Center when Aaron fell and he was in the green room. And that was the first time I interviewed him when he fell in the draft. And we've never talked about that in terms of first time we met, but he has given Shine on Sports, given Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM, given us an interview at least a couple of times a year ever since he's been the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. And I've said it on numerous occasions, he's the best person in sports to interview. He always listens to your questions. I think it's important. It makes me a better host. I listen to his answers. There's no such thing with Aaron Rodgers as a tough question, because he'll answer anything and everything. You know, sometimes, you know, back in the day, if, you know, during the radio show and it's live and, you know, he only has 15 minutes and I ask him about a play against the Bears, you know, to Jordy Nelson over the middle, he might go for 6 minutes. So I've learned, you know, there's an art in terms of how you interview Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, usually once a season, usually once during the off season. He's been very loyal to the show, very loyal to me. And I listen, Aaron knows the deal. And whether it's, you know, subject matters that are on football, I love talking to him about pop culture. I love talking to him about other sports. He's great on basketball, baseball, NIL, whatever it is, how long he's going to keep playing. And I'm thrilled for him with this opportunity with the Jets. And, you know, he's also loyal. I've told this story before. But years ago, we always do at the end of the year a best of on Mad Dog Sports Radio. And you get commitments from guys. And, you know, this is when Aaron was hurt. Packers were struggling. And he was coming back to try and make a run. He was playing Carolina. There was 3 weeks left in the season. And he got hurt. And his season was over. And normally, when you have a guest booked, you root for health and you root for a win. Because that usually ensures you're going to get the guest, especially if it's, you know, through a publicist or through PR, or through the team. So you root for health and you root for a win. and Rodgers lost and he got injured. And this was a best of, this was on, you know, if you go back to January of the calendar year, the Cowboys game, which is one of the best games he ever played, the throw to Cook, just how majestic he was, you know, beating Dallas in Dallas. And he kept his commitment. And then he did a press conference 10 minutes later and announced that he was done for the season. So I have always appreciated his amazing loyalty. And, you know, he's amazing. And he's great on Pat's show and, you know, what he does. And he even talked about it on my show in the most recent interview. I mean, you know, the Pat and AJ Hawk and the boys and Aaron and what they do. It's awesome for Aaron. I love Pat. Pat's a good friend of mine. You know, we worked together for a couple of years and there's a great mutual respect there. But Aaron's been really awesome to the show and has been for a long time. He understands the platform we have. He understands if we do it on the radio show, we put it on the Rise and Shine podcast. I'm going to put clips on and talk about it on CBS Sports Network. So he gets it and understands the power and prestige and the platform of being on Shine on Sports on Mad Dog Sports Radio.
The perception of Aaron Rodgers has changed a bit since he started doing the Pat McAfee show. Has your perception of Aaron Rodgers changed since he started doing the Pat McAfee show?
I love that question. And the answer is no. I mean, that's the Aaron Rodgers that, you know, frankly, I've interviewed forever. And, right. You know, what makes him such a compelling interview is, you know, you ask him questions and there's no such thing with Aaron as a tough question. And, you know, he gives you what's on his mind and, you know, he's not afraid to, you know, dish it back and have fun with it. So no, I look forward to that spot with Pat every week, Brandon, for a variety of reasons. I mean, hey, it's, you know, great news and it's great, you know, for us on radio and TV, we're going to talk about whatever Aaron says. I mean, you do a good interview with Aaron and it's obviously it's Rodgers. It's going to be news, but that's who he is. And that's who he is with me when he comes on the show. And it's very genuine and his likability factors off the charts. I'll tell you something. And I've joked with Aaron about this. When we used to go to training camp, you know, people could say, oh, Aaron Rodgers, not a great teammate. Every year, which was always just one of the worst takes ever. I mean, just talk to anyone who's been on the Packers. Brandon, he used to bring his backup quarterbacks to in-person interviews. He would bring Matt Flynn. He would bring Brett Hundley. So these guys would get some shine on sports, right?
Right.
And really, that's not even great radio. I don't want to talk, with all due respect to Matt Flynn, that's not why I'm there. But he's such a good guy and a good teammate, and I love when he's on McAfee because I think the genuine nature, the thoughtfulness of Rodgers. There's no wasted word. There's no wasted answer. It's all very – there's always a pause, if you've noticed, before he answers a question. He likes to think. He likes to process. And then just let it rip. He's my favorite person to interview in sports. And I do love when he's on McAfee. I think he really is outstanding with Pat.
How do you think he's going to fare with the New York media? Because there seems to be this like looming anticipation outside of New York, especially, that it's going to be eventually like a clash of the Titans between Aaron Rodgers and the New York media.
So I think this is the most overrated storyline.
Yeah.
For a variety of reasons. Number one, first of all, Aaron's great with the press. He's great with the press. It doesn't matter if you love him, loathe him. He's fantastic talking to the media. When you're the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, it really doesn't get any bigger or better than that. First of all, the Green Bay media is amazing. And they cover the Packers like the Beatles. That's the story in Green Bay, Wisconsin, in Wisconsin. So, you know, and a lot of the coverage, it's not like it's, you know, a small market team and everything's, you know, go Pack, go. I mean, some of the commentary, it's amazing and it's biting and it's critical and it's legit. So I think if anything, when, you know, you have the Giants and the Jets and the Mets and the Yankees and the Knicks and the Nets and all the hockey and everything that goes into it, I mean, look, you know, Rodgers is, you know, on the 425 games. He's on the primetime games. He's getting interviewed by Mike Tirico. He's getting interviewed by Joe Buck. He's getting interviewed by Aaron Andrews and Kevin Burkhardt and, you know, Jim Nance and Tony Romo. I mean, he can handle the sports writers in New York. And,
right.
You know, he's been on Jeopardy. He's had highs and lows and, you know, dating celebrities. I mean, page six is not going to bother him. I mean, I had a Taylor Swift question on my notepad. So I was like, oh, I'll ask. And then he went into it without even me. He's going to volunteer everything. He loves New York. He wants to go to Broadway, wants to go to a Met game, a Yankee game. He's also not naive. He needs to win because you know that. I know that. He's a darling right now, and he's great with the press. You know, Buffalo 31, Jets 17, it's going to be a different kind of set of questions for Aaron Rodgers after week one of the NFL season. But I also do think the Jets are going to be great this year. I think Rodgers is going to be great. To me, doing the interview, Brandon, I think it's pretty crystal clear. He's both rejuvenated and has a chip on his shoulder. So I think he's going to be great. But no, dealing with the New York media, and I remember saying this to a couple of reporters after the deal, just texting with friends of mine who are in the New York media. He's going to love it. Yeah. He's going to look like that's who he is. He don't, you know, with all some shenanigans, don't ever let it get a twist with Rodgers. He's great with the press. He loves the give and take. I think, and New York reporters ask great questions. Look, there's going to be a volume of that maybe you won't have in Green Bay in terms of all the TV and radio folks, but and national people who are based in New York. But I really think at the end of the day, this is going to be a total non-factor when it comes to Rodgers dealing with the New York media.
He does, obviously, he says things that are polarizing, at times controversial. What is, in your mind, what is the host's responsibility when interviewing Aaron Rodgers? Should he be given just an open platform to talk? Should he be challenged more?
I mean, I think it depends on the topic, you know, and I think it depends on the relationship. And I think it depends when you're doing the interview. I mean, yeah, if there's something that's worthy of being challenged, then of course. And Brandon, the answer is yes. And to go back to your, you know, to the point on Rodgers and why I love interviewing him, there's really no such thing as a tough Aaron Rodgers question. I mean, I remember I interviewed him after Andrew Luck retired. And I was able to ask him about his future and his career. And, you know, he gave me a great quote about the back nine of his career. And, you know, he's the best. Like, I just think when it comes to interviewing Rodgers, you know, I don't script anything or take any notes because you have to listen.
Yeah.
Because if as long as you listen, yeah, the responsibility. And, you know, I think sometimes, and, you know, I know the whole everything with the vaccine with McAfee. Listen. Pat McAfee's phenomenal, and Pat did a great job, and he does a great job with every Aaron Rodgers interview, and he gets Aaron Rodgers, and sometimes, you know, I think that criticism is absolutely insane. I think that you can always follow, you should follow, sometimes it's worth following, sometimes it's not worth following. Look, Pat's show's different because, you know, it can go an hour and a half.
Right.
I had Rodgers for 27 minutes. That's also during the offseason. If it's during the season, you know, and I have him for 20 minutes like I usually do, maybe that changes the approach. But no, you can follow on anything with Rodgers. I mean, I did in 2020. We talked about it. You know, it was written up in terms of, you know, conversations with him and the MVP vote and whether or not he thought he would get it based upon the fact that, you know, he wasn't vaccinated. So I think you could ask Aaron Rodgers anything about anything.
Did you see him express his love for Jersey Shore? And is he aware of the feud that you had with Snooki?
Huh. You know, it's funny. I don't think he's aware. And I got to tell you, that was one of the weirdest non-stories ever. I don't even know. You know, it's funny, like sometimes, you know, like my girls, if they Google me, they'd be like, what happened with Snooki? Answer, nothing. Like, she didn't try to get me fired. There was no topic. There was no story. But, you know, that was, you know, a fun week of, all right, hey, you know, hey, this is out there, but none of it's true. But hey, it was good pub for me, so I'll take it. But no, I don't think he's aware, but. You know, I did tell Aaron I disagreed with his take about the Jersey Shore.
I was surprised to hear you say that, you know, Pat McAfee. Obviously, I know you were the lead in for him when he was on Mad Dog Sports Radio, but he wasn't broadcasting in the same studio. So did you have interactions with him still while he was there? Was there like crosstalk or anything like that?
Yeah, when he came on this channel, he was on my show, and I had known Pat when he was a player. I had him on when he was on Barstool, on which was on Sirius XM at the time. So, I mean, I don't, you know, we don't exchange Christmas cards, but, you know, Pat's great. You know, when he was at the Super Bowl the last year, he was with us on Mad Dog, you know, like, hey, which show do you want to be on? He's like, oh, I'm going to do Adam's show. I'm going to be on Shine On Sports. It's more of a mutual respect than anything else. I text him about, you know, congratulating him on ESPN, which is amazing. And I think the world of Pat, his YouTube show is incredible. And I think he's going to be a rock star on ESPN because he loves sports. He knows how to interact with people. And I think Pat's outstanding. I love Pat.
Were you surprised by the move to ESPN at all? Because, like, I think leaving CBS Sports Radio for Sirius made some sense to get a little bit more freedom, leaving Sirius to kind of focus on building his brand independently made a little bit sense if he wanted even more, a more sense of freedom. But now leaving that to go with the establishment that is ESPN kind of opposes that trend.
I mean, I don't like to comment on what other people do because I have no idea, but I would say when I saw the news, I thought it was great. I think that ESPN is ESPN, Pat's Pat, and the melding of those brands, Brandon, I think is going to be fantastic. And, you know, how's it going to work? We just saw it on Saturday mornings on game day, college game day during the football season. So, you know, people make a big deal. Is Pat going to curse? Is he going to did you see him on Saturdays? Because I watched the show and he was fantastic. So how's the Pat McAfee show going to be on ESPN? It's going to be fantastic.
When you went to satellite radio, you said you started there in 2004. Did you view it as a long-term fit at the time? And was Howard Stern, I know he didn't start there. Was he already signed when you started working with Sirius?
No. In fact, we're doing this interview the day before the official anniversary of 19 years at Sirius. And it was Sirius then.
Yeah.
And Howard Stern was not even on the radar when I left. And Steve Cohen left WFAN and was going to run NFL radio for Sirius Satellite Radio. And I met him at the now defunct Heartland Brewery. And we had a burger and Stevie was my guy. And the rest is history. And he hired me, it was his first hire, to do the afternoon show, which I did with John Riggins on NFL radio. And, you know, listen, was that the plan to stay for 19 years? I mean, I trusted Steve and I knew that, you know, I wanted to hitch my wagon to the NFL, and it was just a no-brainer move for me. And I love Steve and I knew that anything that he touched was going to turn to gold. And, you know, some people are like, oh, you're leaving FAN for Cyrus. How do you pronounce it? I'm like, no, it's Sirius. It's going to be amazing. And I'll tell you, it's an amazing platform. And the growth and the people, Brandon, that's the thing. I mean, Steve Cohen and, you know, the people I work with at Mad Dog Sports Radio, Chris and my producer, Bob Stew, and Steve Torrey and Shane Connolly. We've got an amazing group of people, and that, you know, the radio, the platform, it's all great and it's amazing. And, you know, every day is the best day and the best show ever. And it's how I feel every single day getting pumped up to do the show. But, you know, it's just an incredible culture and the people at SiriusXM.
Were you ever close to returning to WFAN?
Was I ever close? I mean, close would be a stretch. Look, you have to, close is an interesting, I love the way you phrased that question. No, I was not close. There was one deal, one offer that I took to SiriusXM. And just let them know, hey, this is on the table, and it's not going to happen. You have to understand, when it came to, you know, replacing Mike or anything like that, that was my childhood dream. That there was no other dream. It's like, what do you want to do when you grow up? I want to replace Mike and the Mad Dog. like that, that was it. Now, there was a period of time when my contract was up. I guess it was the Atlanta Super Bowl 2019. I'd have to go back and think about it. I'm like, oh, this might happen. And, you know, it was, you know, Andrew Marchand had reported that. So, yeah. You know, I'm not breaking any ground here. Right. But, you know, they talked to me. And, you know, what was great about that specific proposal was I could stay at SiriusXM and I could stay at CBS Sports Network. And I let them know, just, you know, I'm not leaving SiriusXM and Time to Shine's untouchable. So just so we're clear on where that's going. But close, no, because I've never wanted to leave SiriusXM. Never wanted to leave. The platform's too great. I love doing national sports. I love having an ability to paint with a brush every day in terms of the topics I want to do with the national scope. And, you know, I prefer that. So obviously, you know, WFAN is WFAN, but close, not in my mind. I mean, there were a bunch of offers from FAN through the years. That's been documented. And again, Andrew Marchand, Bob Raisman's reported that. But I'm absolutely thrilled to be at SiriusXM. Just signed a new deal there for another 4 years. So I couldn't be happier. But look, anytime there was a call, you know, it's not like it was a call from some random company. It was always from my dream job growing up. What do you want to do when you get older? Well, this is exactly what I want to do. So, you know, it's crazy if I told young Adam, friends of mine I grew up with have said this, what would you say to, you know, 16-year-old Adam if you said, all right, you're going to turn down, you know, afternoon drive at WFAN on multiple occasions? Well, tell me why. And, you know, I love what I do at SiriusXM. So, you know, in that regard, it was an absolute no-brainer.
Yeah, and not only just telling 16-year-old Adam that, but telling Adam in 2004 and 2005 that, I'm sure, would have been a shock.
100%. Yeah, that's a valid point. I mean, because there was still an infancy stage. And again, it's important to stress, going back to what we talked about earlier, I was there before Stern.
Yeah.
So when I was there, and I could look this up for so don't quote me on this, I think there were about 250,000 subscribers. Like, when I joined in June 2004, and now SiriusXM is a behemoth. And so it was a great calculation on my part.
And then the other thing you mentioned, that with that FAN proposal, that you would have been potentially able to stay with Sirius. So is that in, would you have tried to continue a daily radio show with Sirius, or just do other work for Sirius? Like, I mean, doing a 9 to noon and then afternoon drive and then your CBS sports show, like that. I mean, that would have been like a ridiculous.
I would have to go back and look at it and really get the devil in the details for you. But I'm pretty positive at the time, 2019, the radio show was 10 to 1. So if I could, in essence, do the radio show, do Shine on Sports from 10 to 12, and this was the proposal, and then 3 to 6 do radio in New York, and then at 6 do TV. Again, that wasn't going to happen, but that was, you know, thrown out as
that was the pitch.
That was a pitch.
Yeah.
Yes.
And did you ever talk to Mike Francesa about potentially co-hosting with him?
Well, Mike and I talked about a lot of things for a lot of years. I mean, I love Mike, and he's always been amazing to me. We had dinner at Del Frisco's. It was the day, again, I got to think of the year, Brandon, whenever he did the A-Rod interview in studio.
Okay.
And I remember saying to my agent, it was great. Like, of all the places Mike picked to have dinner, he picked the restaurant in the building at SiriusXM. And at the time, I'll tell you, it was 2014, because I hadn't started Time to Shine yet. So I was working at SNY, which at the time was two blocks away. So I'm like, geez, of all restaurants in New York City, this is the one. And I walk in, and my guy Felix, who was the old maitre d' at Del Frisco's, he goes, "Wait, you're," and I used to, you know, eat there all the time. He's like, "You're having dinner with Mike?" So yeah, Mike and I, he laid out a plan in 2014 and said, "Hey, this is how I want it to go. I want you to replace me." That was one of the most surreal and amazing conversations of my life. I mean, that again was my dream job, and you know, it was wild. But you know, in 2019, Mike and I didn't talk about, you know, him. That was never on the table of like co-hosting. It was, hey, why don't we potentially do this where Mike passes the baton to you? I think that would kind of be the way to phrase it. But again, you know, I didn't want to leave SiriusXM. And definitely, I don't want to leave CBS Sports. And, you know, like I said, Time to Shine and Monday QB and that of the pregame show and Shine on Sports. When these, Brandon, your childhood dream is your childhood dream. You can't change that.
Of course.
But dreams in the present change and opportunities change. And, you know,
industries change.
Everything changes. Yeah. Satellite radio, cable TV, local radio, everything changes. Podcasts. So, I mean, I couldn't be happier. And that's why I'm thrilled with the new contract at SiriusXM. And listen, I hope we're talking in, you know, 20 years when we're talking about the 40-year history of Shine On Sports.
Do you have much interaction with Chris Russo at Mad Dog Sports Radio?
We were texting a couple of days ago. You know, I don't see him that often just based upon the time of the show, but I love Chris. Everything you see with Chris on First Take, everything you hear on the radio, that's who he is. Yeah. That's what makes him the greatest of all time. That's a good job for you, Adam. He's smacking me on the back as I'm walking in the hall or walking to the bathroom. I mean, he's a trip. He's one of one. Often imitated, never duplicated. He is, and he'll kill me because he hates when I go on interviews and call him the greatest of all time. But he's the greatest of all time. He is the greatest sports radio host in the history of the planet. He is still at the top of his game. And it is, I mean, that was always an important thing too, right? Hitching my wagon to Chris and to SiriusXM and to Steve Cohen and Steve Torrey. It was pretty damn important, you know, big picture. So I think Dog's great. Dog is everything you think of Chris. It's even better when you get to know him.
How was being a lead in for Stephen A. Smith? The other day you tweeted that you could talk about the greatness of Stephen A. Smith for days, and specifically me here at Awful Announcing, I always have plenty of time to talk about Stephen A. Smith. So what's your relationship with him?
The best. And Stephen A. was so loyal to SiriusXM and so loyal to me. And, you know, we've talked about things, you know, back in the day when he was with us at SiriusXM, and I, you know, he'll text and check in and, you know, mention me on the air. And, you know, that was a powerhouse time with my show and Stephen A's show and Chris's show. And it was great. And he has remained very loyal to SiriusXM, very loyal to Mad Dog Sports Radio. And, you know, Dan Orlovsky and I talked about that very recently on our Rise and Shine podcast. Stephen A, I will always defend him. First of all, I mean, there's no Stephen B. I mean, he is must-see TV, must-listen podcast, must-listen radio, and I'm telling you, he's a mensch. I mean, if you're one of his guys, the way he treats people, knows everyone's name, he knows who he is, how he can make someone's day, I think the world of Stephen A. Smith. I think he's fantastic.
How have you enjoyed doing the podcast? That's relatively the last couple of years, right?
We started that in 2019, and we did it just during the football season for the first couple of years. That was actually part of my new deal then in 2019. And then it was going really well, and it became a year-round podcast. Brandon, I love it. I really do. I love doing interviews. I love chopping it up with people. I love – and granted, on radio, we can still – go deep on different things. But I love that in the podcast format. I love interview shows. I mean, I used to love Roy Firestone, right? You know, up close, and Gary Miller. And I love great sports interviews. I like to ask good questions and listen and, you know, and react and respond. So the ability to do that on the podcast, and there's freedom there. I mean, you can get an actor or actress on. You can get an athlete, a general manager. I love interviewing people in sports media because I think it takes, and as someone in sports media, takes the listener behind the subscriber, behind the scenes on why and how and what makes this person tick, and get to know them on a personal level, not just who you see on television or listen to on the radio. So I appreciate you asking. I love hosting the Rise and Shine podcast, and you know, new episode out every Wednesday, and it's one of my favorite things that I do.
Yeah, and I think, like, personally, I always loved radio. I was like reluctant to even listen to podcasts years ago because I just, radio was my primary source of entertainment. I love the energy of live radio, and you don't necessarily get that with podcasting. But what I've grown to love about podcasting is that it doesn't have to be quite as performative as radio does. Like, it can be a little bit more of a calm, relaxed conversation that's almost a bit of a breath of fresh air. And I think you personally, you have a great ability to kind of recognize the difference between hosting a TV show versus a radio show versus a podcast. Like, your personality is different with all of them.
Well, I take that as the ultimate compliment, and that means the world, because, you know, you want people to listen to the radio show, watch Time to Shine on CBS Sports Network, subscribe to the Rise and Shine podcast, and it's still me, and it's, you know, all incredibly genuine, but there's a very different approach to all three, and, you know, just by nature of the vehicles, and, you know, I'm a prep machine when it comes to radio and TV. For a podcast, it can be very different. It can be a little dirtier, a little grittier. And I think that comes across. So I'm glad you noticed that. And, you know, because that's why you want people to subscribe and download, because it's, and that's something I had to work on, frankly, or at least pay attention to. All right, do a podcast. Sounds great. Well, how is this going to be different from the radio show? You know, I'm on radio for 15 hours a week. I've got a nightly television show. I've got football shows, out of the pregame show during the NFL season on CBS Sports Network. So how do I make the podcast different? So I appreciate you recognizing that, because that,
of course,
that is a stated effort and goal. And I feel like we've been, I'd say over the last year and a half, in a really strong and great groove with that.
Two just quick things that I want to mention before I let you go. The first is, how did the late Larry King wind up being a regular caller into your radio show?
God, you just gave me the chills by asking that. It's, you know, he was an idol of mine. I love interview shows.
Yeah.
I love interviews, right? And, you know, back a long time ago, the WAER, like the Mike Tirico years, they went to DC and they sat down with Larry King. So I always knew he knew Syracuse. And, you know, I've always loved Larry and admired Larry. And one day he called in and he said, I love your show. I listen all the time. And we just, you know, next thing you know, I'm screaming at Larry King about Tim Tebow. I mean, it's just, you know, things that happen. You know, he would call in, we would have battles over Chris Paul. Anytime Chris Paul is in the news or people are debating, can Chris Paul win, you know, be a champion? He would defend Chris Paul like no other. He would get so angry at me when I would compare Clayton Kershaw to Sandy Koufax. Adam, I love Clayton Kershaw. And he came in the studio in New York.
Yep.
I had him on Time to Shine, which was a huge deal for me at the time at CBS. That was great. We set it up in the broadcast center, not even the studio that we normally broadcast in. You know, my only regret, you know, he invited me out to Nate and Al's. I've read his book. It's in the back. I mean, he's the best. I never made it to Nate and Al's in LA with him. And he invited me to do that. And that would have been something fun and something special with Larry. But he listened to the show and he loved the show and he admired my work. And I was so sad when he passed away.
Yeah.
So sad.
Yeah. It's an awesome thrill though, to have him call in and just kind of generate that, spontaneous relationship like that.
And then we gave him the call. Then we gave him the bat line after that. Because yeah. We kept him on hold for a while. So yeah, then we gave him the bat line.
And then before I let you go, I know you're a Syracuse grad and a Syracuse fan. This was a few months ago, but I just wanted to get a quick take on Brent Axe getting fired by Galaxy Media for being what they categorized as overly negative about the Syracuse sports teams.
I love Brent Axe. Brent Axe actually replaced me when I left Syracuse.
Yeah.
So I've known Brent for a long time, and I left in February of 2002. So that's a long time. Brent's amazing, and Brent never made anything personal and was never over the top. I think Brent is a fantastic radio host. And, you know, I hate hearing that. And, you know, I was happy that that made national news because I hope that that never happens again. And Brent was, he loves Syracuse sports and he did it the right way. And look, there were a lot of things to be critical of over the last couple of years. So you get paid for having an opinion. So that story angered me, repulsed me, made me sad. The fact that it could happen in Syracuse, stone's throw from the Newhouse School and the broadcast journalism program at Syracuse University. And, you know, Ed Levine, who runs Galaxy, Newhouse guy, Syracuse guy. I had so many issues with that. I was very disturbed by that. Brent got the short end of the stick. He should still be hosting. And basically, and this makes me sad on a professional and personal level, they killed Syracuse radio. That you can never take sports radio in Syracuse, New York seriously again. And it was, I mean, I loved it. That was my first job out of school doing afternoon drive in Syracuse. Did it for 3 years. It was a great sports market. Not only Syracuse, but you know, the Buffalo Bills and the New York Giants and different baseball teams and hockey was big. It sucks. And I feel terrible for Brent. And it's a disgrace that that happened.
Have you ever had anything happen like that to you in terms of like people telling you that you were being too critical or complaints like that? In your career?
Yeah, I mean, nothing that's ever, you know, I might've been told that before, but it's never changed how my approach to broadcasting.
Right. No. Adam, I know you have a jam-packed schedule. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast, making some time. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Brandon, I appreciate it, man. Big fan of yours, and I appreciate it, and we'll talk again real soon. Thanks.
That is Adam Schein. I'm Brandon Contis. This is the Awful Announcing Podcast. Please rate and subscribe this podcast. Also, please subscribe to Awful Announcing's YouTube page, and I say that with sincere urgency. But as always, regardless of how you consume this podcast, thanks for listening and be good.
Thanks for listening to the Awful Announcing Podcast. For the latest news spanning the sports media landscape and more, check out awfulannouncing.com and follow us at awfulannouncing.com.